Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 10, verses 11 to 15. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 15. Now in this passage we'll be studying about the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. Let's read John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now in this passage of Scripture, Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. Earlier in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, he referred to himself as a shepherd. And he described that the shepherd enters in by the door, the porter opens it to him. He calls his sheep, and they follow him. He leads them out into the pasture so that he can feed them. And they will not follow strangers. Now, when he said that he was the shepherd up there, then the strangers would be the Pharisees. And then there were thieves and robbers that would crawl in some other way because they couldn't get in by the door. So then in John chapter 10, verses 7 to 10, he described himself as the door. Because once they're inside of the sheepfold, they are protected by the door. He said, I'm the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. They're protected by the door. And then they go out of the door to feed. He said, I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. They go in and out and find pasture. He protects them from thieves and from robbers, which is what the Pharisees are. What the Pharisees were back then. Also in that particular passage, the sheep don't hear the thieves and the robbers. They don't follow them. And these thieves and these robbers are well known because they betrayed him by a thief, Judas Iscariot. They sold him out for a thief, Barabbas. They crucified him as a thief. He was crucified between two thieves. And they accused his disciples of being thieves. In Matthew chapter 28, yet they, those Pharisees, were the real thieves, not the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this particular passage, he goes on a little further and develops this a little more, and he says, I am the good shepherd. So he's the good shepherd. Now, practically speaking, according to this passage that we just read, the main characteristic of a good shepherd is that he will risk his life to prevent the sheep or to protect the sheep, to prevent the sheep from finding harm or to protect the sheep. And the best example of a good shepherd in the Old Testament is David. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And look at verse 34, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and look at verse 34. Now, this is at a time when Goliath was challenging the army of Israel to bring out a man so they could fight one-on-one. And David said he would go, and he would fight against the Philistine. And then in verse 33 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, Saul said to David, thou not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him? For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And then in verse 34, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. So David was a good shepherd, because what happened is this lion and this bear came in trying to get a lamb out of the flock. Now the lion was successful in getting a lamb, and when he went out after that lion, he smote that lion and then delivered that lamb out of his mouth. That lion was going to take it away and go kill it. And when that lion arose against David, then David caught that lion by his beard and smote him and slew him. So David is a great example of a good shepherd, because the good shepherd is willing to risk his life to protect the sheep. Now, the good shepherd is contrasted in John chapter 10 to a hireling, or contrasted against a hireling. Now, the hireling is not really a shepherd in verse 12. He's an hireling and not the shepherd. And he doesn't own the sheep, who's owned the sheep or not. So that when the wolf comes, he leaves. He seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. Now, as a result of that, the sheep are no longer protected, and therefore the wolf can do anything he wants to them. He scatters them and he catches the sheep. Notice what it says, the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Now, the reason that the hireling leaves is revealed in verse 13. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. He leaves because he doesn't care. So here is, and that's all that's listed here in the deal, practically speaking. There's a comparison between the shepherd, who is a good shepherd, that'll give his life for the sheep, and this hireling, who's not really a shepherd, who doesn't care for the sheep. He leaves the sheep when the wolf attacks. He doesn't own the sheep. He's not really a shepherd. Now, what is the spiritual truth, or the doctrinal truth, that Jesus Christ is teaching by this description? Well, the sheep are Israel. Look in Psalm 95, and look at verse 7. Psalm 95, and look at verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Look in Psalm 100, and look at verse 3. Psalm 100, and look at verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. So the people of God, Israel, are the sheep in this description then. You know, it's interesting how the Lord will do that, but he'll take something that you understand, and he'll liken it to something that you may not understand. And so in this particular passage, he compares people to sheep. And there's a good description there, because sheep are stupid and so are people. All right, the second truth is that the good shepherd is Jesus Christ. The sheep are Israel. The good shepherd is Jesus Christ. All right, look in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and look at verse 11. Isaiah chapter 40, look at verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Now, who is this? Well, look at verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. It's God. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So the good shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God, and Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Now, he's the good shepherd because he gave his life for the sheep, which is what the good shepherd does in verse 11. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, and Jesus Christ did that. Look in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah 53, and look at verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 53, look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep, there's that illustration again, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So he died for his sheep, he gave his life for the sheep. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and watch it, gave himself for it. Now, he's a husband, and a keeper of sheep is referred to in the Bible as a husbandman. So it makes a perfect picture. Perfect picture. The good shepherd is Jesus Christ because, first of all, he gave his life for the sheep, and secondly, because he cares for the sheep. Not only because he gave his life for the sheep, but because he cares for the sheep. Look at verse 13. By contrast, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. But the good shepherd cares for the sheep. Look in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and look at verse 34. Mark chapter 6 and look at verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with how? With what? He was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So Jesus Christ came along when these poor sheep didn't have a shepherd. All they had was hirelings. And when he saw the people, he was moved with compassion. Why? Because he cared for them. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, not only because he gave his life for the sheep and because he cares for the sheep, but because also he knows his sheep. Look in verse 27. Of John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Well, that's what a good shepherd's supposed to do in verse 14. I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep. So he knows them. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What's the seal, the foundation of God? The Lord knoweth them that are his. Now remember back there in Matthew chapter 7, because there were some people who thought they were sheep, and they really weren't. And notice this, Matthew chapter 7, they came to him and they were doing a lot of things that the sheep were doing, but they really weren't sheep. Matthew chapter 7, look at verses 21 to 23. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, watch it, I never knew you. I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, then in that case, they never were sheep. Some people have used that passage to teach that you can lose your salvation. But Jesus didn't say, I used to know you. He said, I never knew you, which indicates then that these people never did become sheep, but they did work like sheep. So just by comparison, the ticket on the Good Shepherd is he knows his sheep, and when somebody pretends to be one of his sheep and is not, then he doesn't know them. All right, another reason that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd is not only because he gave his life for the sheep, and that he cares for the sheep, and that he knows the sheep, but also that he destroys the wolf for them. He destroys the wolf for them, kind of like David did with the lion and the bear. Now, this is by contrast in verse 12. The hireling, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. So the wolf will come in there to destroy some of them. Well, in this case, the good shepherd destroys the wolf. And he destroys the wolf for them. Look in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, and look at verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And in due time, God will chain him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And when he gets out to lead a revolt, God will destroy him with fire. And he'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. Now, Jesus Christ has gone to be with his Father. In heaven, he's seated at the right hand of God Almighty in his throne. And while he is away like that, he leaves his sheep with under-shepherds, shepherds that watch over the flock while he's gone. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5 at verses 1 to 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verses 1 to 4. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Now notice that thing. He said, feed the flock of God, and not as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. So a shepherd is, in this case, one of the flock, but he's leading the flock. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So the Lord, in his absence, makes sure that the flock is fed and protected. So he leaves them with shepherds of the flock. They're not lords of God's heritage. They're not stealing from them for filthy lucre's sake. And they're not taking the oversight by constraint. They're not constrained into doing it. They're willing to do it. And they're feeding the flock of God. Now notice in Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, these people that are over the flock are to feed the flock of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. So the overseer is to feed the church of God. That's what the shepherd does to the sheep. Now I just want you to notice something. Over there in 1 Peter chapter 5, you might not have noticed it, but you can go back and look at it in verses 1 to 4. Peter was addressing elders, and he said, and I'm an elder. The responsibility of the elder is to feed the flock of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 is also addressed to elders. In verse 17, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now, let me tell you something. There has been a switch. If you look up the word elder in the Bible, you have two kinds. You have the elders that feed the flock of God. They are the pastors. And then you have these other guys who are elder because of their age. They're spoken of in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And they're treated as fathers. And the younger men are treated as brothers. It's just an age thing. And they're elder and should demonstrate the maturity and wisdom of an elder. But today you have this situation in the churches where there is a body of men called elders Sometimes they're called trustees. Sometimes they're a deacon board. And they think it is their responsibility to run the church and to run the pastor. And let me tell you something. That is not biblical. That is a Jewish setup, like the Jewish councils. And you saw the trouble that it created for the Jews when those elders ran away with their own ideas. And the same problems come up in the churches today. That's just a little side note. Didn't mean to get off on that. But God didn't leave. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to be with his Father in heaven, he did not leave elder bodies in charge of pastors and in charge of money and in charge of the people in a church. He didn't do that. Those guys are hirelings, and you got to watch out for them. The guys that he left in oversight of the church are the ones who are feeding the church of God. They're preaching and they're teaching the word of God. They are pastors and teachers is what they are. Okay, and sometimes they'll be helped by evangelists. So these guys are to feed the flock of God. I thought I'd just throw that in there for you. And they're also to protect the flock from wolves. Notice what Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 29. I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. The wolves didn't get to come in as long as the man was there feeding the church of God. But as soon as the man would leave, the under-shepherd would leave, then the wolves would enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, so Jesus Christ is the good shepherd because not only that, but he leaves people to help his flock and to feed his flock and to protect his flock while he's gone. But look at the hireling. We've identified the sheep, that's Israel. We've identified the good shepherd, that's Jesus Christ. But look at the hireling. The hireling is the Antichrist. Look at it again. He's not the shepherd. He doesn't own the sheep. And he leaves the sheep when the wolf comes. Now, for this, check the cross reference in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 15. Zechariah chapter 11, verses 15 to 17. Zechariah 11, verses 15 to 17. The Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. So Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and then there's the foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young, nor heal that which is broken, nor feed that that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. See that? The hireling leaveth the flock. The idle shepherd leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. That event right there is the deadly wound that the Antichrist receives in Revelation 13. From which he eventually recovers. So he is the foolish shepherd, the idle shepherd, and he's a hireling, so therefore he won't visit the flock, he won't seek the young one, he won't heal the brokenhearted, and he won't feed that standeth still. What will he do? Instead, he'll eat the flesh of the fat. He's living off the flock. Now the Pharisees are like these hirelings, or like the hireling. The wolf coming is like what Titus did in 70 AD when he literally scattered the sheep of Israel and destroyed the temple. And this thing is going to be repeated in the tribulation. So there you have it. The good shepherd is Jesus Christ. The sheep is Israel. The hireling is the Antichrist, and he's represented by the Pharisees who were there. In part, they're like him, but the hireling that comes in most notably right after them is Titus in 70 A.D. Now, a couple of spiritual truths that we want to get from this that we can apply, because we've looked at the doctrinal truth and we've looked at the practical application. But what is the spiritual truth? Well, the first question that I would ask you is, do you have the good shepherd, or are you a sheep that has no shepherd? Because if you're a sheep that has no shepherd, the wolf is going to come and he's going to get you. You've got to have the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember what E.V. Hill said when he preached the funeral of his wife. He talked about the thief coming for to steal and to kill and to destroy, and he will, unless you have a good shepherd. But if you have a good shepherd, then the thief has to get permission before he can touch you. And if you don't have a good shepherd in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're a sitting duck, you're a sheep without a shepherd, and the wolf will destroy you. So I encourage you to bow your knee and your head before the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you'll have a good shepherd, and he'll feed you, and he'll direct you to a good shepherd who will feed you and protect you here in this earth in a good local church. The second question I would ask you is, do you have a hireling for a pastor? Do you have a hireling for a pastor? If you do, you better get you a good under-shepherd. Because if he's just there to feed off of the flock, he'll be gone when he gets all the money he wants from the flock, and he'll leave you unprotected and unfed. And I'm telling you, they're all over the pulpits of the United States of America. The good pastor, the good shepherd, will feed you. He'll study his Bible, and he will prepare his teaching, and he'll prepare his preaching, and he will feed you with the Word of God so that you can grow. He will care for you. He'll pray for you. He'll see to it that your spiritual needs are met to the best of his ability. He will know you. He'll know who you are and recognize you as one of God's sheep. And you'll know him because he'll be available. And in your time of need and in your time of brokenheartedness and in your time of sickness, he'll visit you. Now, I'll just say that I would not even attempt to make this statement if you are well shepherded by your pastor. But I will say to you, if you're not well shepherded by your pastor, you need to find you a local church where your pastor will know you and feed you and care for you and visit with you in your time of need so that you'll know him. And you need to find one of those under the Lord's direction so that you can be well protected and well fed while you live your life waiting on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you got to do that. Amen?
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.